And now joining us, a special guest. She was former Miss USA from Kentucky, and now you can check out her work as a college football writer, and does an amazing job with her picks too. I've been following, I'm not going to lie. I've been like, oh man, like trying to, I'm not saying that I'm trying to put the mortgage down, but she knows her college football. Leanne Herring joining us here again. And Leanne, really appreciate your time, what you guys do at therebelwalk.com, and really looking forward to this interview.
Thanks. It's always good to be on ESPN Pensacola. So thank you all for having us back. And like you said, it's a big weekend, not just in the South and the SEC, but I mean in the playoff picture, there's a lot of big games going across the Big Ten, and you know, some other key games that really, you know, we can finally see this gridiron shift that we've seen for a couple of weeks in the top, you know, top eight of the college football AP poll. So it's going to be a big weekend for a lot of teams.
How does it feel? I know that you go to a lot of these games as the director of recruiting and what you do at the Rebel Walk, but you got your ties to Ole Miss, and I know it was a tough week last week, but many people have said that after an Alabama game. But also, you know, watching some of the biggest wins, Kentucky, that was a big moment. Now, Drew and I had a conversation the other day, but are you for or against teams, especially, I mean, Kentucky's 5-0 now, but are you for or against teams storming a field?
I think it's really hard to stop your student body, especially at Kentucky. Kentucky was one of the first teams that I covered. I was there when Joker Phillips was taking over the program, and I've watched it over so many coaches, and to see the culture change there, especially with Stoops, you know, I'm not against it. I think it would be really hard to regulate, especially for a place like Kentucky when you're 5-0 and your team has really been waiting for this moment. So for me, you know, I know that they got signed, and you know, that's going to happen. I understand where they're coming from in that aspect. But, you know, I think it's just part of the game day tradition. I just think it just, you know, when you haven't seen your team win and then all of a sudden they went from, you know, being a basketball school to you know, 5-0 in the SEC, you know, and the potential to maybe, you know, if Georgia were to get upset, and, you know, there would be some shakeups that they could be very well up there. So, you know, I just think it's a tradition in college football. And I really think you can't take that away from the students. I really don't think you can control that either way. They would rather take the fine than not storm the field and support their team.
Leanne, when you look right now at Cincinnati, they play tonight. Temple's not a horrible team, but they're a 30-point underdog. After the win against Notre Dame, it seems like the best chance of a team making the college football playoff from a non-Power 5 school would be Cincinnati. In a couple years, they'll be moving to the Big 12, but right now, playing in the American, we tried it. We just claimed a fake national title at UCF. But when it comes down to Cincinnati and the opportunity, I know a lot of people don't check a map every day because they have things called phones and easy access on satellites, but Cincinnati's not too far from over there in Lexington and, you know, right there in Kentucky. But when it comes down to it, what do you think the chances of the Bearcats to actually get invited into the college football playoff? Because it's going to take a committee really to, you know, take a lot of their bias away that they don't play anybody and they have to focus on that Notre Dame win.
Exactly. And I think you said it right there. It's going to have to take a lot of biases. And I think that Cincinnati right now is in a really tough position, like you said, tonight they take on Temple. And I think the where they're sitting, number 5 spot, just a tough place to be, especially for Cincinnati, because you're not in Oklahoma. You know, you're not an Ole Miss, you're not an LSU team, you're not a major team. So like you said, it's going to come down to the committee. And like I said, for Cincinnati, even if they win out, I think it's just going to be really difficult. I think this Penn State-Iowa game, this Big 10, 12 matchup of the East and the West powerhouses right there, is really going to, you know, play a big part in if Cincinnati goes up or if they go down. And also, if you got to look at the teams that are under Cincinnati, you know, number 6, being that OU team, then you got Ohio State and Oregon, and the way that their schedules are playing out, like I said, you know, we got OU in the Red River tomorrow against Texas, and I just think that it's going to be very difficult for Cincinnati to make their case if the teams above them and under them don't shake up, because it's just this top 8 has been in a gridiron lock and hasn't really shifted. I think now we're going to see, you know, starting with this week and on, as we get deeper into conference play, and you know your undefeated start dropping, even with the schedule and stuff. And then you got a lot of teams up there that may not be the best teams out there, but could very well be on upset alert. We see it every season, you know, those teams that don't have anything to lose but be the upset. So I think Cincinnati just sits in a very difficult place right now, even with they went out, because being that number 5 spot, it's just always a tough spot to be in the playoff picture, because the teams that you have above you and below you, you know, it's very, usually win out. So I think Cincinnati is just in a really tough spot right now. I'm not saying it's not possible, but, you know, they would have to get a lot of help from other teams that most likely, with the way the schedule plays out, aren't going to lose. And like I said, you got BYU, too, that's playing a real big case on there. And then, like I said, if Iowa were to lose tonight to Penn State, I don't think they drop too much. But then you make the case, does Iowa, you know, go on to play the big, you know, Penn State again? And do they make a case for being a one-loss team if their only loss is to Penn State? So, like I said, Cincinnati just seems like it's in a tough spot being at that number five with who's above and below them.
Well, I think that's where everything's really interesting, because there are, you got Penn State, you got Iowa, you have Michigan, Michigan State, and Ohio State that are all in this top 11. So in a way for Cincinnati, I think definitely they're going to need some help, but it might come from if Penn State could beat Iowa, and then if they falter at any point against Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, then if anything, that might help Cincinnati's case, along with SMU being ranked. If Houston eventually becomes ranked and they're able to win all their games and then control the American, I think that obviously they need some help, but that's probably the best case scenario for Cincinnati to get in. I have a question though, Leanne. So you mentioned the Big Ten schools. Right now, the Pac-12, Big 12, and ACC seem to be pushed to the side at the moment, and the Big Ten and the SEC seem to be the two dominant conferences. Are there any surprises within either of those conferences that through five or six weeks of the season, who you're most surprised with and maybe least impressed with as well?
I think for the Big Ten, I'm going to have to say Iowa. You know, I think that nobody thought that. I could see Penn State up there as high as it is, but I don't think anyone thought that Iowa was just going to come out of nowhere and, you know, possibly be over a Michigan or a Michigan State, considering it's well played. So Iowa's really impressed me. The Iowa defense has impressed me a lot. You know, they've had a little bit of trouble on offense, but their defense has caused so many turnovers and has just threw quarterbacks and offenses, you know. So it's going to be interesting to see how they – so they've really impressed me. You know, I'm not – and it's – you know, I think Ohio State and Michigan are power teams in the Big Ten, but they just haven't impressed me as far as that's concerned, you know, in an overall thing. Like I said, I think that even though in – when you look at the Big Ten conference, you know, standings, I believe Michigan is above Penn State right now. And I just think that Penn State has just played a stronger in that regard. So, you know, Penn State and Iowa definitely have impressed me in the Big Ten – Big Ten, but Iowa's much more, because like I said, they kind of just came out of nowhere. No one thought that they'd be ranked number three, especially in the conference that they play with, you know, against Ohio State and Michigan and Michigan State. You know, those are just traditional powerhouses. And I think for me in the SEC, I have to say Kentucky. I always knew that Kentucky, and this is not me being partial or biased, I just think that after covering the team and seeing its evolution from its coaches and you know, people really weren't sure if Stoops was going to be able to, if they were really going to keep Stoops around, because, you know, it's taken so much time for Kentucky to be where it's at. And they haven't been extremely impressive as far as their play. You know, they've won, but they found ways to win. It hasn't been pretty. It's been more uglier than such, but they found ways to win. So that's really a big surprise that, you know, Kentucky right now is 5-0. And granted that the SEC East is not strong, because you have Georgia dominating there, but you can't give any less to Kentucky. I mean, especially how they played against Florida and stuff. You know, they found a way to win. So definitely Kentucky is a surprise for me, being able to be at 5-0 right now in the SEC East. So this game against LSU will be very interesting at home in Lexington, you know, tomorrow, to see how that plays out, because LSU, of course, is, you know, trying to salvage their season and try to put a little bit morale back in that thing in their program, which has been lackluster, you know, after, you know, a national championship run. It's kind of just not found its way back in there.
Speaking with Leanne Herring, the director of recruiting at therebelwalk.com, covering Ole Miss and college football here in the South. Leanne, when you look right now at the SEC, we talked about both Alabama and Georgia, and it's pretty clear by the eye test, they look so dominant. Now, you know, people can make a case for, you know, Penn State or an Iowa, but then you see Penn State almost get beat by Auburn, and Auburn hasn't played that well. They turn around and barely get a win against Georgia State. So people look at that as the eye test. Do you feel, though, we saw Alabama at one point with Bryce Young. They had a little bit of a slip up against Florida. Florida also has 4- and 5-star recruits. They're at home in front of 100,000 people. And also, Alabama took their foot off the gas pedal a little. They were up at one point 21-3 and looked like it was a cakewalk. But if you look right now at the SEC, do you see games even like this week, where it's the oldest rivalry in the South with Alabama, with Auburn taking on Georgia, and also Alabama going to Jimbo and Texas A&M, where this is like their national title. Since they lost to Mississippi State, they don't have a ton to play for now at 3-2, but this is like their championship if they could win this. Do you feel, though, that playing in the SEC, these teams are going to have another game this year where it either comes down to the wire or they get a loss? Because I think a lot of the country 5 weeks in is saying, oh, let's just skip and go right to the national title with Alabama and Georgia.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, and I think right now we're really going to see the heat of things. Alabama and Georgia, no question about it. They pass the eye test. They do well and everything. I will say, you know, Alabama and Georgia are, especially in Alabama, they struggled on offense, that offensive line. We've seen it early on. And Georgia, which really kept them afloat, is their defense. Nothing, and they put in a run game, like I said. And once again, I think that we've seen so much success between these two teams is because, like I said, they found ways to win, and they put themselves in their players in the way they play, the way Kirby Smart has called his games and the way Saban has called his game, is that they've been able to dominate on that line of scrimmage and put in drives that end with some kind of points on the board. And I think that's what's been able to pull Alabama and Georgia afloat. They've been able to make, you know, take time off the clock with these long drives, whether it's the run or the pass game. Neither has been too impressive, but at one point, either one of these teams has relied heavily on their offense or defense to pull them through. Like I said, not taking away anything, but I think really what we're going to see, like you said, this Auburn-Georgia game, you know, oldest rivalry in the South, and the invoking Bear Bryant, you know, when you go to Texas A&M, when you go to College Station and you play, it's electric. And like you said, Texas A&M is also another program right now that, you know, has a lot of elite talent, but they've faced injuries. You know, they haven't been able to click. But this is very well a game that could surprise, like you said, because they're playing for something. This is like their big stage. And, you know, there's been back and forth with Jimbo, you know, saying that they want to, you know, come for Alabama. And you know, it's like you said, there's nothing to lose. So we might see a lot of different energy. But I think in the next 2 weeks, especially in the SEC, because now we're into conference play, you know, we're going to see injuries. We're going to see a lot of things that are going to change things. So like I said, I still think it's open. We still have plenty of games to play. So I know that people want to see Alabama, Georgia, and that would be a heck of a matchup. But like I said, I still think that there's a little bit of time for things to shake up, because now we're in conference play. It's a matter of staying healthy. It's a matter of, you know, keeping the gas, no brakes kind of thing. And that's really tough when you play in the SEC West. So it'll be interesting to see how Georgia and Alabama take the next couple games at home and on the road, how they adapt and adjust to keep their team healthy. Because like I said, it can change. It can change with the players that they use. They're so dominant and heavy, like I said, but they found ways to win. It's because, like I said, their drives have really, you know, always allowed them and caused them to put points on the board. And that's been the key game. You know, they haven't always played their best ball, but they found ways to put points on the board every time they get on that field and force their other teams to score, which it hasn't been a success.
Leanne, final question here, covering Ole Miss, the loss, I mean, losing to Alabama is okay. That's acceptable to everybody in the country. But when it comes down to it, Matt Corral and his chance of winning the Heisman, now most of the time the Heisman goes to the best player on the best team. However, you know, we've seen RG3. We've seen some guys have a couple losses and do it. Do you still feel he's right in the mix? Because frankly, I don't think there's anybody from Alabama, Georgia, Iowa or Penn State that is jumping off the board as a clear-cut favorite, where you had guys like Mac Jones and a guy like Devontae Smith last year. There's just not that guy that's taken over. Do you feel Corral's still in the mix?
Yeah, I definitely feel that Corral's still in the mix. And I think, like you said, a one-loss Ole Miss team with the way their schedule plays out. You know, we're at home against Arkansas, go on the road to Tennessee, and then, you know, we got LSU and then Texas A&M, all games that you want to say that you can win. They won't be easy, but like I said, with injuries and things. But I think Corral's very much in the mix, and he's definitely impressed from you know, start to finish. And even though we didn't win that Alabama game, he still was able to keep the keep the focus and in the mix. And like I said, there's not really anybody to me as far as the quarterback outside Bryce Young that really seems like, you know, that they're coming in those top four or five teams that hasn't been able to do what Corral's doing. You know, he's taking it to another level. Like I said, that's not just because I'm an Ole Miss beat writer or see him day in and out. If you really see, you know, his transformation from one season to the next and what he's done and every game he's progressed and gotten that much better. And I think this Arkansas stage will really see a lot from him and the rest of the season. So I expect for him to finish strong, and I still think he's very much in the mix. I just don't think you go from one loss to like him without any real front runners aside from Bryce Young and possibly, you know, the running back out of Texas is creating a little bit of buzz for, you know, depending how the Red River rivalry comes out, that he might be in the mix for the Heisman. Because, you know, he's been dominating. So, but like I said, I don't really think that there's anyone all of a sudden that's jumped out enough to push Corral out of the top two spot with Bryce Young.
Leanne, it's always great to have you on. So much knowledge when it comes to college football. And I know our fans across the area appreciate you as well. Before we let you go, any way that people can get a hold of you, anything you got going on with your work or just anything you'd like to promote, let us know.
Well, like I said, we have a great staff at Rebel Walk, so we cover around the SEC and, of course, Ole Miss. You can always follow us on our social at therebelwalk.com. You can follow me on my Twitter at MissKYUS2011. And I also have to give a shout out to all our analytics and our behind the scenes team, Kenneth and his team at Crunch Time Sports Advantage. You can give them a follow at Crunch Time VIP. They help prepare all our stats and analytics so we can bring you the best breakdowns from the SEC to the Big Ten. So like I said, that we have a whole village that works together and everything. But it's always great to be on the show with your team and everything and talk a little college football.
Well, Leanne, we appreciate it, and I hope you have a great college football weekend, and we'll talk to you again here soon.
Sounds good. Hotty toddy.